I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but they are kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dominic, we welcome back a fine guest live via phone. He is Tim Sheehy. He is the president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, the MMAC. Tim, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Well, thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
Tim, something of a celebratory day here in the state of Wisconsin. I think everyone well aware of the Milwaukee Bucks, NBA champions, Bucks in six. Tim, your organization based out of Milwaukee, what is the current climate in the city of Milwaukee? That town's partying right now, aren't they, Tim?
It is. It's over the top, and it's just really nice to have something that literally the whole city, I would argue maybe even the whole state, can celebrate. A lot has obviously gone on in the last year, but it's just being through the festivities last night, the parade tomorrow, and just seeing again people from all walks of life coming together to celebrate something in common is a special experience.
Tim, how much money was invested, not just in this franchise, obviously that's privately held, but the stadium, the Fiserv Forum, that was obviously the venue for this glorious victory last night. Let's talk about the Fiserv Forum for a bit. Mm-hmm. When that was created, it was a partnership between the new Bucks owners, the old Bucks owner, Herb Cole, threw in $100 million, my understanding, and the state of Wisconsin contributed $250 million. And I took some contention with our contribution, Tim, because there was Menominee money available, and the governor decided to make a different deal. Tim, how contentious was that deal to your memory?
It was very contentious and reminds me very much of building Miller Park some 25 years ago. That was also very contentious. And again, in a perfect environment, you wouldn't be putting public funding into these projects. But they're unique assets. Cities around the country compete for them. We have an NBA franchise. And so the state legislature and the governor, at our urging and others, decided to put $250 million in public financing in. That $250 million is being paid back by the incremental increase in the players' salaries. So the income tax generated by the players is really what's paying off the financing of the $250 million that the state put in. And the argument really was, if you lose the team, you lose the $10 million or so in income tax revenue that's coming in, but you also lose the increment. So the state continues to collect the $10 million they were from the existing payroll, and then as the salaries went up, that increment is going to pay off the debt on the $250 million that's going into the Fiserv Forum.
And Tim, the somewhat uninspiring brand at the time, I think Scott Walker's brand was cheaper to keep them. Ultimately, the state of Wisconsin decided it was, mathematically speaking, a better investment to put the state dollars in and to build this stadium. And Tim, what about the ancillary investment in the Deer District around this stadium? Is that, you know, lived up to expectations?
Well, you know, if you take out 2020 because of the pandemic year, we've seen a lot of development around the stadium, and an announcement now that the north side that they're using for part of the Deer District, there's going to be a new hotel, new commercial development. So I think it is living up to the expectations. And I would say in another 5 years, if you wrapped a bow around it, you'd be close to $1 billion of new investment. And that investment is generating, just like the activity last night, all that new sales tax revenue, all the new income tax revenue really flows to the state. It's not kept here locally. So it really benefits the state taxpayers who, in a sense, helped fund the arena.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Tim Sheehy. He's the president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, the MMAC. We appreciate you coming on, Tim. It's great to speak with you again. But, you know, certainly it seems that this particular investment will be paid back, and that's a good one. But, you know, you mentioned, we talked about how contentious some of these are, and the Miller Park issue. My recollection was there was a Republican in Racine. They financed Miller Park, the Brewers Stadium at the time, with an increase in the sales tax in like a five or six county region, Tim. A Republican state senator got recalled because of that vote. Do you think that the Miller, while he paid, you know, certainly a political price for that, Tim, would you consider the Miller Park, now AmFam Field, was that a successful private-public partnership?
I think it's a very, it's a tenth of a cent sales tax that has financed the bonds that went in to pay for, in part, Miller Park. And you're right, Senator George Petak, who was a Republican senator from Racine, who was the deciding vote, and had spoken out earlier and said he was not going to vote for it. And when he became the deciding vote, switched his vote, ultimately lost his seat because of that. But I think that if you look at, you know, the past 25 years or so, Miller Park has been an outstanding success, not only from a developmental standpoint, but we draw more people to Major League Baseball in Metro Milwaukee than any other market in the country from outside the metro area. So it's been a great benefit to the state, and I think it will prove to be so as we go forward, and hopefully we'll stack a World Series on top of the NBA championship.
Now, Tim, from a business perspective, I would imagine most people in commerce are not down with government giving out, you know, tax dollars to private companies. I mean, do you make a distinction between, you know, sports venues like Miller Park, like the Forum, or versus like Kimberly-Clark's, you know, world headquarters in Neenah or whatever, going down to Texas? Do you look at those kinds of issues with private corporations and public funding the same if they're not athletic related, Tim?
Well, I quite frankly, I think the economic impact from, for example, an expansion of Milwaukee Tool or Komatsu investing $400 million or Haribo coming in to build a confectionery plant, that economic impact outstrips what you would see from a sports team. So I think they're different from that standpoint. And again, in an ideal world, the sports industry, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football, would invest their own resources, you know, in their capital infrastructure. But we have a competitive environment. We have people bidding for these franchises. So the reality is, if you want to keep NBA basketball in a market like Milwaukee, you need to utilize this public-private partnership. And I would say that Wisconsin has done it in a better way than I've seen other financing packages around the country in terms of how this was financed.
Well, Tim, certainly other, you know, non-sport corporate interests are also, you know, in competition for their dollars. And we'll talk about Foxconn here. Yep. Foxconn, to my understanding, there were several other states that were looking at trying to bring Foxconn to their area. Of course, Wisconsin won that. I know you were supportive of that. Tim, perhaps an example of a partnership that did not work out as it was sold or intended. What's your take on the current situation at Foxconn?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I would certainly say at this stage, we've not seen the economic impact that was projected from Foxconn. But I don't think the book's closed there yet. And to date, no state incentives have been paid out to Foxconn. And Foxconn has guaranteed on a long-term basis the debt service for the infrastructure improvements for that property. So if Foxconn doesn't materialize to the extent that we projected they would, we have a great developable piece of property there that I think will be home to other developments. If Foxconn continues to grow there, we'll get, you know, we'll reap that benefit. But it's important to understand at this point, no public financing from the state has been, no incentives have been given to Foxconn. And so I think it's a chapter that still has to be written.
Tim, my greatest concern with Foxconn, or even how the Bucks Arena transpired, is it came through a political prism. And it was the decision of Scott Walker primarily that cast both of these deals. And there's a lot of people, and I don't care if it had been a Democratic governor, Tim, half the state would have disagreed with the decision for political purposes. Tim, how do we take the politics out of these decisions and look at the hard math and the investment and the return on investment and come up with transparency in the decision-making process? That's my biggest contention.
Yeah, and it's a really good question. I think ultimately the Bucks financing package that went through the legislature got strong bipartisan support. A lot of the Milwaukee area Democrats were supportive of it. So, you know, anytime you look at public financing, I think it's really hard to take the politics out of it. And what you hope happens through the process is that lay this out, that the math works, that there is a reasonable opportunity to cover the debt service, whether that's for Foxconn or whether that's for the Brewers or whether it's for the Bucks. And I think as we watch this go forward, the math for the Bucks is going to work out, and the state's going to get the debt service that they put in, the $250 million, they're going to get that paid back with interest. So it's really an opportunity cost that we're looking at. But Really difficult and a really good question to take the politics out of this.
But, Tim, when we looked at the math and we brought on economists, and I'm talking about specifically the Foxconn project, because of the percentage of the financial incentives, a typical incentive for employees would be 7.5%. We're paying Foxconn like 17%. And here in the state of Wisconsin, we don't even see manufacturers who are highly profitable pay any significant taxes. They got a 0.4% tax rate under state tax laws. So even a highly profitable corporation that's incentivized, the only upside would have been what taxation on the employees, as near as I could tell, Tim. And we were incentivizing the employees at 17.5, and the highest tax rate under Wisconsin law is like 7.25, sir. We were never going to get our money back on that investment.
Well, and you make some very good points. And the Foxconn deal as it stands now, that incentive isn't 17% now. I think it's down to 7%. But you're right. The big benefit to the state is the increasing payroll and the jobs. And that's what you hope to come from an investment like Foxconn. Which, again, I think at this point it's a fair question as to whether that's worked out. Again, I think there's more to that story to come. And so you want to make sure that, again, you're making those investments wisely. And, again, I look at a company just south of where Foxconn is. I look at the investment in Haribo, $400 million of capital investment, 400 jobs. That's going to pay back really well in terms of an incentive package. So you need to be thoughtful with these. You need to look at them deal by deal, and you just can't put a broad brush and say they're all good or they're all bad.
Tim, we hear about the well-paying jobs, the Foxconn jobs. Best case scenario, we're going to pay. They promised us $53,000, but then it was like $13 an hour when Robin Foss rolled out the proposal at a press conference. My question, Tim, is, how do we create new jobs without trying to recruit corporations from overseas or other states? I know the last governor pledged to create jobs, but Tim, you got to have the labor force. We got like 1 minute left, sir. What's your thought on job creation?
Yep. Well, you can't stand still. And so we need to help companies here that are short workers. We need to invest more in training. We need to get people skilled up. We have 150,000 people in the region, adults who only have a high school degree. We need to get them skilled up. But we also need to invest in companies that are expanding here, like Milwaukee Tool, which just got a state incentive. They're going to create another 2,000 jobs at $80,000 a job. So we need to do both.
Well, Tim, I'm going to give most of the credit to Giannis instead of Scott Walker, but enjoy the parade. Enjoy the glorious Bucks victory. Tim Shee, president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. Tim, thanks for coming around today.
Thanks, Tim.
You're welcome.
Come back with us. More Devils Advocates on the other side. More of your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789.